Okay, this afternoon, in this session, we'll go back to the emotional balance training. And here we'll begin by looking at a point where in search, you know, we search for happiness and we search to be free of suffering. And it seems like often the source of our happiness and the source of our suffering is out there in the world. And so with that perspective, who is our friend, or who seems to be our friend, and who seems to be our enemy? The friend that seems to be bringing happiness is my own self, cherishing mind. That we look after myself. You know, I want to be happy. I want to be free of suffering. So it seems like we are the most important person. And so in the pursuit of our happiness, our friend seems to be this self-cherishing attitude, the one that's really looking after me and my happiness, me and my suffering. And then who seems to be the enemy is those people out there that seem to be causing me suffering. So others seem to be our enemy. Or potentially our enemy. But what we can understand is actually, in reality, this is exactly the opposite. In reality, it's our self-cherishing mind that is our worst enemy, and it's others who are our friend. Even those who try to harm us. Because even those who try to harm us are helping us to develop our compassion, our patience, and all these other sorts of qualities. And they are highlighting to us our need to develop further as a person. They're testing us. Because actually, one of the qualities we need to develop, of course, in the spiritual path is patience. How do we develop patience if everyone's nice to us? Very difficult. It's only if people are testing us that we can really develop patience. So actually you'll find that as we progress in any sort of spiritual path, we'll actually need to search out these sorts of annoying people to help us to progress. Of course, at our level as a beginner, we don't need to search these people out. We have enough material to work with at our own level. But of course, actually, as we progress in the spiritual path, we will need to do that. In fact, there's a classic story about we briefly mentioned the other day this Lojong system of practice, this mind training system of practice that was brought into Tibet around the 11th century by great Indian master Akisha. And there's a story that when he came to Tibet, he brought with himself an attendant who was helping to look after him. And this attendant was a completely obnoxious person. And then the Tibetans looked at this attendant and said to Lama, to a teacher, he said, why have you got this horrible, obnoxious person? Why don't you have a nice person to help you? And then the teacher said to the Tibetans, this person is my most holy teacher. So he picked him specifically for that purpose, that he needed that person to help him to develop as a person. And that goes back to the point we mentioned the other day, is actually the times where we develop most as a person is when we're faced with difficulty, when we're tested by external circumstances and by other people. So, of course, others can be our friend in terms of really supporting us and helping us and so forth, but even others who are behaving badly can really be our friend in terms of helping us to develop as a person. So let's have a look now, why is self-cherishing our worst enemy? So self-cherishing, of course, here is the selfish, self-centered attitude that sees my happiness as more important than the happiness of anyone else. So what happens if we have this sort of attitude?
One is that, of course, we become obsessed about me and my happiness, me and my suffering. And if we really become obsessed about me and my suffering, then, and the suffering seems to be coming from out there, then often people who have this strong self-cherishing develop a lot of fear and anxiety about the world. Because everything out there is a potential threat, so I better be on guard. And so we have to, and then it becomes very stressful because we always have to be on guard because even our best friend could potentially harm us. So we better be prepared for that. And then often we become very sensitive. Some very little thing, we become very sensitive to it and overreact to little stimulus. And then, of course, to protect ourselves from that supposed danger out there, we build a big wall around ourselves to protect ourselves. And then we cut ourselves off from the world. We become very isolated and lonely. So loneliness is a very common side effect of people who have this strong selfish motivation. And as I mentioned, this is very stressful, this sort of attitude. In fact, recently I read that there was a medical study that was done, a very extensive medical study. I'm not sure, I think it was either in the US or Europe. And the result of the medical study was that people who use the words I, me and mine a lot have a 35% greater risk of heart attack. So it seems very stressful. And then of course if we are obsessed about me and my happiness, then and the happiness seems to be coming from out there, then often people with a lot of self-cherishing have a lot of craving and attachment to things. And then, of course, if they don't get those things, they experience a lot of frustration. And even if they get the things that seem to make them happy, they never really get fully satisfied. They simply end up craving for more, 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 never satisfied, and then often end up with a lot of disappointment and even depression because nothing is living up to their expectations. And then, of course, with this selfish, self-centered attitude, we have an exaggerated sense of self-importance. And with an exaggerated sense of self-importance, therefore, we often show a lack of consideration and respect for others. And then, of course, associated with that, we often become very jealous of those who seem to have more than us. We often become very competitive with others, trying to outdo them and put them down. And often we have become very arrogant and dismissive of people who seem to be at a lower level than ourselves. And then, of course, also anyone who gets in the way of our happiness, we harm them. So we harm others in the pursuit of our happiness. And, of course, if we harm others in the pursuit of our happiness, generally they harm us back. And then, of course, in the back of our mind, we understand that harming others is not the right thing to do, and then often end up with a lot of guilt and low self-esteem because of that. And then, as I already mentioned, I think, yesterday, with this self-cherishing attitude, this me, me, me attitude, we tend to categorize people into three groups solely on the basis of how they're affecting me and my happiness. To those people who seem to be supporting me and my happiness, friend. To those people around us who don't seem to be affecting me and my happiness in any way, stranger. To those people around us who seem to be interfering with me and my happiness, so-called enemy. And then we have this very biased attitude. Because towards a friend, we have a lot of attachment because they seem to be the source of our happiness. To the stranger, because they don't seem to be affecting me and my happiness in any way, we have a lot of apathy and indifference to them. And to the enemy, who seems to be the source of me and my happiness, we have a lot of aversion, hostility, anger and hatred towards them. So we have attachment to friends, apathy to strangers, hostility, anger and hatred towards those difficult people. And then, as I already mentioned the other day as well, then when it comes to developing loving kindness and compassion for others, it becomes almost impossible. Loving kindness and compassion to the stranger? Not really. I don't care what happens to them because they're not affecting me in any way. loving kindness and compassion to the so-called enemy? No way. In fact, I hope they suffer because they deserve to suffer. And loving kindness and compassion to the friends? Okay, but only as long as they keep saying and doing things that make me happy. Otherwise, not. So we can see that we have these sorts of disadvantages of this selfish, self-cherishing attitude. So it's very important to reflect on these disadvantages to really come to understand that self-cherishing is our real enemy. And then also it's helpful to reflect on the opposite, that the cherishing others is our friend. So what are the advantages of cherishing others? The advantages of cherishing others is exactly the flip side of the disadvantages of self-cherishing. Because if we are cherishing others, we're not really obsessed about me and my happiness, me and my suffering, which means we won't have all this fear and anxiety and isolation and loneliness that we have from the self-cherishing attitude. We won't have all this craving and frustration, attachment, disappointment because we're not obsessed about me and my happiness that seems to be coming from out there. Of course, we won't have an exaggerated sense of self-importance. We'll have consideration and respect for others. Instead of having jealousy for others, we'll be rejoicing in what they have. We won't be competitive, trying to outdo people or put them down. We'll be trying to help them. And also, particularly those who seem to be at a lesser level than us, we'll be really trying to help them rather than being arrogant and dismissive. And of course, we won't be deliberately harming others in the pursuit of our happiness. We'll be trying to help them, which means they're more likely to help us as well. And then, in our situations, we won't have this very narrow perspective of simply, how is this situation affecting me and my happiness, and thereby having attachment, aversion, and apathy. Rather, we'll have a much broader perspective of how is this situation also affecting others. So instead of attachment and aversion, we'll be having loving kindness and compassion towards others. So if we reflect on the advantages of cherishing others, the disadvantages of self-cherishing, we'll want to replace our current destructive self-cherishing attitude, which now seems to be our friend, and we'll replace that with the attitude of cherishing others, which is really what our friend is. One point I'd like to add here, which I think is very important, is this idea of cherishing others. And I think this came up earlier yesterday or maybe even the day before. And to highlight this point again, I'd like to have to tell you about a concrete example. Some years ago, when I was teaching in Dharamsala, one of the students was a Danish school teacher, and he previously heard about this idea of cherishing others, and so he thought this was a great idea, and so he went back to Denmark and he had primary school children, and he wanted to really cherish them and look after them. But what happened was the children started to go crazy in the class and misbehave. And then he had a real dilemma because he really felt cherishing others was the right thing to do, but the result was a disaster. But then slowly he understood what does it mean to cherish others. It doesn't just mean sit there and smile and say nice things. To cherish others is to look out for others' welfare, which means if someone else is misbehaving, to really cherish them would be to address that negative behaviour and not allow that negative behaviour. So then he understood that, and then, of course, everything went a lot better. So therefore, we need to remember that. Otherwise, if we practice cherishing others or practice loving kindness and compassion, without the wisdom, we will get trodden over. People will use us as a doormat and take advantage of us. So again, this is a classic example of the compassion or cherishing others without wisdom. So if someone is trying to take advantage of us or misbehaving, then we need to use wisdom to not allow that to happen. That's really cherishing others, because otherwise, if we allow them to continue to engage in that manipulative behaviour, then we're not really cherishing others. We're encouraging them to actually behave more worse, in a worse way. So that's the disadvantages of self-cherishing and the advantages of cherishing others. Any questions about that before we go into the practice? Yes, I mean, that's what the meditation we're going to be doing now. We're going to be doing that now, in fact, exactly that point. So, because now, I mean, and this is something that's really promoted in our modern society, you know, look after number one. You're the most important, you know. Look after number one. If you want to be happy, you have to really look out for yourself at the expense of others. And that's what self-cherishing is about. So actually our modern society is promoting this idea. And of course, we can see in our modern society that it's promoting the idea that, you know, others are really our enemy. I mean, how much conflict is going on in the world because they're the enemy, you know. And so this is actually what's being promoted in our modern society, and most people sort of accept this. And then they wonder why they suffer and they're not finding happiness. And from a Buddhist perspective, we've got it completely the wrong way around. It's really self-cherishing that is our worst enemy. And it's others that are our friends. Even the ones who really try to harm us are our friends in terms of helping us to develop higher levels of compassion and patience and so forth. And of course, the others who really directly benefit us, of course, also are our friends. That's easy to understand.
Is it okay to understand that those factors are not getting contributed to the
Well, we need to reprimand them, but we need to reprimand them in terms of not attacking the person, but addressing their negative behaviour. Sorry, which, I didn't understand, which people who don't have what behaviour? Which mentality? In the correct way, or the, yeah.
Do you think that practicing for 2 hours, the idea is that we practice for like only an hour, that this automatically
uses No. Because practice is not just sitting and meditating, practice is integrating into daily life. So if we sit down to practice and meditate in the morning about these ideas for half an hour, but then we jump up and we run around harming others, having self-cherishing the rest of the day, I mean, which one is going to be more weighty?
So this is, again, analytical meditation, right?
Yeah, so this is a form of analytical meditation. No. All the mindfulness is not. Right. Right. So, yeah. So, the idea of analytical meditation is to internalize intellectual ideas. I mean, now, when I've talked about this, probably a lot of you can sort of intellectually appreciate that this is very harmful. And intellectually appreciate that others are our friends, even the ones who behave badly. Maybe intellectually we can go, oh yeah, that makes sense. But then we go out in the world, and what do? We self-cherish and we attack others. Because this is only an intellectual idea. So as long as we leave it only as an intellectual idea, it's going to be hard to implement it in daily life. Because our daily life habits are driving our behaviour. And our habit is this, and our habit is to attack others. That's our strong habit. So to start to counteract that strong habit, we need to start to develop a proper habit. And to start to develop a habit,
is meditation. Analytical meditation is starting to reprogram our habit. So we're reprogramming our habit of seeing self-cherishing as our friend by meditating on the disadvantages. We are reprogramming so that we instinctively see self-cherishing as the enemy, which means then in daily life, when we see self-cherishing coming up, our instinctive habit will go, hang on, that's harmful, stop. Whereas if it's only an intellectual idea, if we only leave it there, then self-cherishing will come up and we'll probably act on it, and then afterwards we go, oh, what did I do that for? That was a mess. Because we don't have a strong enough habit to start to counteract that. That's why both are important. Meditation to internalize, to start to create that new habit, and then integrating into daily life to continue to deepen and develop that habit. Both of these are important. If we only meditate or we only try to implement, it's going to be difficult to change those habits. Because if we only meditate, then our daily life bad behavior will work against that. If we don't meditate, we won't have enough basis to begin to integrate it into daily life.
If you have to practice analytical meditation successfully, you need to have a narrative.
You need to have
a narrative.
There's the steps, yes. Yeah. So again, it's the same as like at work. Let's say we have to solve a problem at work, a sort of technical problem. I mean, if we're jumping all over the place, you know, thinking here, there, everywhere, I mean, we don't get anywhere, we just get confused. Whereas if we sit down and then we methodically go through that problem step by step in a very logical way, then at the end we go, that's the solution. So similarly here, of course we can think in a very sporadic way about all these things, but it probably won't have so much impact. Whereas if we think about something or investigate something in a very methodical, straightforward, logical way, then we'll come to a very definite conclusion. Yes, it's like that. So this is why analytical meditation in a very clear, systematic way is more powerful than just thinking about things in a very random way, because it's much more structured. And we know that from trying to solve a problem. If we have that method, we can solve the problem rather than just thinking about things from all different sides. Okay, let's do the practice. So, again, I want to divide this into two short sessions with a little break in the middle. The first half, we're going to reflect on the disadvantages of self-cherishing, and in the second half, reflecting on the advantages of cherishing others, following a lot of the points we covered just now. Okay, so let's find nice, comfortable posture. So as always, we begin with a good posture, keeping the back nice and straight, and allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. Allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Let's begin by reflecting on the disadvantages of the self-cherishing mind. So remember that the self-cherishing attitude is the selfish, self-centered attitude that sees my happiness as more important than the happiness of anyone else. And we can begin by reflecting on our own past experiences when you had this self-cherishing attitude. So bring to mind some occasions in the past where you had this selfish, self-centered attitude and see what effect it had on you and those around you. Did the self-cherishing attitude ever make you feel lonely or isolated? And by putting so much emphasis on our own happiness, does the self-cherishing attitude ever lead you to develop any fear or anxiety by seeing things around you as a potential threat to your happiness? And as a result, do you ever become overly sensitive and easily offended? And by paying so much attention to our own wants and needs, does this selfish attitude lead you to develop craving or attachment toward things? Does this sometimes lead to frustration when you don't get the things you want? And even if you get the things you want, are you ever completely satisfied, or do you simply end up craving for more? And then do you ever become disappointed or depressed when things don't live up to your expectations? And with this exaggerated sense of self-importance, does this self-cherishing attitude ever lead you to show a lack of consideration or respect for others? And then does this selfish attitude ever cause you to be jealous of others who seem to have more than you? And then do you ever become competitive with others, trying to outdo them and put them down? And does this selfish attitude then lead you to be arrogant and dismissive of others who seem to be at a lower level than yourself? And then by seeing each situation from this very narrow perspective, of merely how this situation affects me and my happiness. Does this selfish attitude then cause you to develop attachment to friends? Those who seem to be the source of your happiness. And does it cause you to have apathy and indifference towards those who don't seem to affect your happiness in any way? And cause you to have hostility, anger, and hatred towards those who seem to be interfering with your happiness? And does this self-cherishing attitude ever lead you to deliberately harm others in the pursuit of your happiness? Harm others who stand in the way of your happiness. From this, we can understand that self-cherishing is not only the basis of our conflicts with others, but is also the basis of all conflicts between individuals, groups, and nations. So see self-cherishing as our real enemy and make a strong determination to overcome it and not let it take control of our mind. So before beginning the second part of the meditation, if you need to stretch your legs, you can do that now quietly. So again, finding that nice, comfortable posture. Allowing the body to be completely relaxed, completely at ease. Allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. So let's now reflect on the advantages of cherishing others. And the more that we reflect on the advantages of cherishing others, the easier it becomes to open our heart to others and to care for them in a very genuine way. So again, we can begin by reflecting on our own past experiences. So bring to mind some occasions in the past where you had this genuine attitude of cherishing others, a genuine concern for others' happiness. And see what effect it had on you and those around you. With an attitude of cherishing others, we will not feel lonely or isolated. We'll feel much more connected with others and with the world. And by not focusing on each situation from this very narrow perspective of how the situation merely affects me and my happiness, we'll feel much more at peace with ourselves. And we won't suffer from the fear and anxiety, craving, frustration and dissatisfaction that comes from the self-cherishing attitude. And by seeing each situation from this much broader perspective of how the situation also affects others, we'll begin to develop loving kindness and compassion towards others, instead of having attachment to friends, apathy to strangers, hostility, anger and hatred toward difficult people. And with the attitude of cherishing others, we will show more consideration and respect for others. And jealousy and arrogance will diminish. And we will not deliberately harm others in the pursuit of our happiness. And when we develop this attitude that respects and cherishes others, our own lives become most meaningful. What could be more meaningful than striving for the goal of everybody's happiness and well-being? And with a genuine attitude of cherishing others, our relationships will flourish and harmony in our society will increase. So in conclusion, make a strong resolve to exchange our current self-cherishing attitude, which is the root of all suffering, to replace or exchange that with the attitude of cherishing others, which is the root of all happiness. Any questions or comments before we go for afternoon tea break? Everyone needs a cup of tea or maybe coffee. Okay, let's have tea break. Oh, question, sorry. Yeah, I mean, we can only be loved if we have loving attitude. Is that what you mean? I mean, the joy that we receive from just helping others is the greatest joy. More than any joy we can receive from getting something. Yeah, I mean, so it's a win-win situation. We benefit and others benefit. I mean, often in Buddhism we talk about the two welfares, own welfare and others' welfare. You know, often with this selfish attitude, we feel like there's a big hole here we need to fill, so we try and grab as much as we can to fill this hole. But it's this grabbing attitude that creates the hole, so it can never be filled. Whereas if we just give, then we are nourished. I mean, it seems counterintuitive, but that's the reality. It's trying to get which causes the hole. It's giving which makes us nourished, I think. So here we need to distinguish, of course, between self-cherishing and feeling good about ourselves. So self-cherishing and loving kindness to ourselves are completely the opposite thing. Yeah. Okay. Another question. Where does tolerance? Yeah. Right. Right. So when you say tolerance, do you mean... See, tolerance can mean either not reacting, or tolerance can mean simply accepting bad behavior. What do you mean by tolerance? Sorry? Right. So then... Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of that, of course, is that if we find it boring, it's again we tend to have self-obsession, me. And so that's how we. Yeah. So again, the question is, The question in this sort of situation is, where is the focus? Is the focus on I'm being bored, or is the focus on that person is not speaking in a very meaningful way?
Yes.
So that's the question. Usually it's I'm bored. So it's all about me. Whereas if we can shift it from I'm bored to this person is just wasting their time and my time, they're not speaking very meaningful, with that focus, because often when we're bored, it's because it's not so much that they're speaking meaningless stuff. It's more like I'm not interested in that. It's not a matter of fact, is that topic interesting or not, or important? It's more like, I don't think that's interesting. So if we can just shift it to the other person. So in these situations, always focus on the other person. And if you can see from their side that they're just wasting time or they're not speaking meaningful, then we can use wisdom and compassion to try to change the topic or skillfully move away from that. So again, the key element here is, where is the focus when we're feeling bored? Is it I'm bored, or is it this person is not really speaking in any sort of meaningful way? So if we can have that attitude, then we have a possibility of using our wisdom and compassion to help that person to stop wasting their time and our time and so forth. Rather, as opposed to, I don't find that interesting, you know, and then it's all about me. Sorry? Again, if we have the self-cherishing attitude, you're going to find that a lot in many situations, and you're going to get isolated and lonely because a lot of the things that are people communicating, I don't like. So then we're going to do this isolation thing. So if we can shift away from that obsessive me focus and focus on the other person, you may find some of these things actually not that, you may find it more interesting because you're interested in that person. I mean, it may be that there are some occasions that it is not just interesting, and probably it's not even interesting for that person, they're just sort of filling time or something. In that case, then we can skillfully do something about that. So again, the first step in this is to have a good focus, a shifting the focus onto the other person. Then we can decide whether or not it's something interesting or meaningful or not, and then deal with it. And of course, every situation is individual. There's no book you can go to that says do this. So we have to evaluate every situation on its own merit and then use wisdom and compassion to best decide how to respond to that situation. As long as we have self-cherishing involved, then we're going to have all sorts of difficulties and make wrong decisions and probably isolate ourselves and maybe attack the person and so forth. And we're just going to create a lot of unnecessary problems for ourselves and for the other person. That's all. Okay, let's have afternoon tea break. Come back at 3:30.